Blog Talk Radio.
To Bonnie Albers on air, and I am your host, Bonnie Albers. I'm so excited today. I'm always really crazy excited when I bring this fabulous YouTube astrologer, tarot reader, intuitive psychic medium. He's got everything going, but his big, big love is putting together all his vids. He brings them to you about astrology and tarot. I love him. He's a great, great friend of mine, right from over the UK. His name, and I'd like you to welcome him today, is Gregory Scott. Hi, Gregory.
Hi, Bonnie.
You are, how are you? Fabulous.
So are you. Thank you.
Well, I haven't made any vids like you, but I will tell you, I wish I could. Tell everybody, today we're going to do sun signs, but tell everybody what you do and what your favorite thing to do, because you put so many of the videos together on YouTube that I don't want them to miss them because they're fabulous.
Well, thanks for that. You're really sweet. I do astrology videos on YouTube. I do a monthly forecast for each sun sign. So I do the sun sign astrology on a monthly basis. So those are great. I've recently started doing a weekly astrology forecast for everybody. And it's the second one. And this one I've put up on YouTube as well. Initially, I just put it up on Facebook. But that's been really, really popular. I'm going to keep doing those. And I also do daily tarot readings on the YouTube channel. If I don't have a favorite. I mean, the daily tarot readings I love because I've been doing them every day for almost 4 years now, which is just mind-boggling to me. I know, I love them. And the monthly astrology ones, I love those too. I even do little vlog videos where you can follow me around, like if I go somewhere special or something. Like I went to Stonehenge. And I filmed that live on Facebook. So I do fun little things like that. But I love being able to do the forecast for each day because I work with energy. So I like to pick up on what the feeling is, you know, like what the kind of cosmic weather is, because I always get impacted by that. And it doesn't really matter to me what tool I'm using. It's about really just picking up on what's in the atmosphere that day. So if you want to check it out. Thanks. Sorry, I keep interrupting you. Yeah, thank you. If you want to check out the videos, then please go to youtube.com/tarotastrology, one word, or just type in Gregory Scott Tarot or Gregory Scott Astrology and you'll find me. And also check out my website. It's gregoryscott.com, and you can find out more information about me, my weird accent and where that comes from and all the other kind of things I do. So it's gregoryscott.com, and I also do private readings. So if you want me to look at love or what work you should be doing or what your sun sign is and how that impacts you, then I can do all of that for you via a private reading.
You are fabulous, and I am so in awe of what you do because, you know, like yesterday I was saying, oh, she's an Aries, oh, she's a Taurus, and I know I do it for a reason, but you actually do numerology too. You add the cards up. So you're just an amazing, you use your tools just wonderfully, and I love that everybody here can actually go to YouTube. Please like and subscribe to Gregory's channel because you can actually see him live, which I wish we could on the radio. But
well,
he's
you can see me on the YouTube channel. Those aren't live. I upload those. You can see me live on Facebook. I sit there in my living room and I pull cards and I answer your questions live. And because I stay hip, I try to stay up to date with, you know, what the kids are doing and stuff. So I'm even on Periscope, which is the Twitter version of live Facebook. So
wow.
I know. So I do one on Facebook and I do one on Periscope, and it's amazing. So even vlogs are kind of getting outdated because you can vlog things live these days from your phone.
I love that. Well,
things are moving on
quicker
than I can actually. Things happen, like, you know, with technology and things are changing so quickly. It's like I only discovered vlogging a couple of months ago, and now it's like outdated. So. I try and stay up with it. I try and stay up with all this stuff.
Well, listen, I thought I was really doing well for especially who I am, very technology not savvy. And I was on Twitter, Spirit about 2 years ago, telling me, you got to get on Twitter, you've got to go on Facebook, you've got to go on Skype. I never did any of this before. All of a sudden, one day, I had all my accounts up in one day. And now what? I got to do other things? You got to be kidding.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got Snapchat and Instagram and live Periscope and all this stuff. It's amazing.
Well, I'm not doing any Snapchat till after my diet because you know how I feel about I'm very vain, everyone, if anybody doesn't know that. I'm really sweet, but I'm vain. And I'm really vain for myself.
You are sweet.
So,
you're a good friend. I just want your listeners to know that because Bonnie and I, we talk on Skype all the time, and she's a really, really good friend. And she doesn't just, like, talk the talk like a lot of people. She actually shows up. We met up in Florida when I was over there visiting my sister, and we had the best time. And next time I'm going to visit, I'm going to come visit you again, Bonnie, and we can do something. We can have lunch, we can go shopping or something, and do have a fun day. Yeah,
honey, I've been inviting you, and you know, as long as I'm home, after I drop Lauren off in Kentucky, which I should be back by mid-July, everyone, our shows will be much more scheduled. I'll be live again 5 days a week. My shows are going to change a little, so get ready. But Gregory, you know, anytime, you can even come to Kentucky. Lauren would love that. So you are always welcome to be with me, to be here, and I thank you. You're a really good friend, too, because I want to tell everybody, Gregory didn't get my message that he was going to be on today, and he graciously and gratefully gave up his time today to be with you. So
You just took me away from my own personal kind of nervous breakdown, so you really interrupted that. I went shopping today, and I went looking for a sofa, and I ended up with a coffee table. So it wasn't a big success. So I'm going to try again tomorrow.
Well, you know what? I love the coffee table, and the nice thing is now you can get a sofa that actually looks really nice with that coffee table, because that coffee table.
Yeah, you can match it up, right? Yeah.
Remember, not too matchy-matchy, Gregor. I'm going to have to come in over there and start rearranging your apartment.
I'm thinking bright yellow with gold dots. I think that'd be fabulous.
Yes, but you're going to have to throw some, well, you got brown in there, so I don't know. We'll have to see, because if you bring some in I don't like, you know, I'm going to say it. But I'll love you. It'll be in love and life that I say that. But
Love and life. Yep.
And Gregory is the proud owner of his condo. It is really a very, very, very wonderful thing to always be excited about your first. So I want to congratulate you, Gregory, and tell you that you're amazing. You're a great soul. What you do on this earth plane for everyone is wonderful, and you should be so proud and happy of what you've accomplished. Now that I have said that, let's get into sun signs. Well, first I got to ask you, Gregory, because I'm so glad I have your attention. I see Gemini Moon out there, and Gemini Moon, you're going to love this, because it's going to be asking, why do we have a sun sign, a rising sign, and a moon sign? They kind of get in the way, I think. I mean, like somebody goes, well, what's your sun sign? Well, that's not all you. You're really your rising, and then you've got to look at your moon. Well, what is that about?
Well, I mean, you know, we are complex kind of creatures, and we all have a purpose here on planet Earth. And if you were just one thing, then, I mean, you know, it'd be done deal.
Right.
You know, you're all done and dusted. So the rising sign is the constellation that is just sitting on the horizon at the moment you're born, and that's what you're actually going to be very, very much aligned with. Okay, so if you have to react from a gut level, most people will react the way their rising sign is. So if I have a rising sign Sagittarius and something happens, my instant gut reaction is going to be to look at the next opportunity, to keep moving forward. If I have a rising sign Virgo and something happens, then something occurs, my gut reaction will be to make sure everything was done properly, if not to sue everybody, you know, that kind of thing. The sun sign is what you're striving towards, and it's what energizes you. So, you know, astrology is based on as above, so below. You know, it's symbolic. What happens in the heavens happens to us on a human level. So the sun is the center of everything. If the sun wasn't there, none of these other planets would matter. We'd be sitting in the dark and, you know, it'd be freezing cold. So
and
the
crying.
Sun is the... And crying, of course. Don't forget the crying. So the sun is the most important bit. It's your identity. It's your ego. It's how you come across on planet Earth and what energizes you and what gives you life, okay? So if you have a sun in Cancer, when you take care of people, when you nurture people, you will get that sense of, oh my God, this is what I'm good at. This is what I'm meant to be doing. This is fulfilling to me. And it kind of gives you energy. If your sun sign is in Leo, then performing and being a leader is going to energize you, and it's going to fill you with life. So a lot of people have a different rising sign and a different sun sign. So it may be that the rising is Libra and the sun is Gemini, you know. Sometimes, though, the two are the same, and then you really, really embody the qualities of either a Leo or a Libra or a Virgo, whatever it is. Now, you also mentioned the moon, and the moon kind of has karmic implications. The moon is what really comes easily, and what you're actually...
Hello. Hi, everyone. Oi, Gregory fell off the planet Earth. He must have gone into the stratosphere. So even though Mercury is not retrograde anymore, we are still having technical problems. So I'm excited for him to call back because I'm on my seat. Here we go, Gregory. I see you. Okay, Gregory.
Hi, what happened there?
I don't know you. You just fell off. I was telling everybody that you just fell off. So I'm so excited you're going through this. So, okay, I'm just so interested. So the moon, you said, is got the karmic.
The moon is kind of karmic. It's what's easy and what comes naturally and what you're nurtured by. So the things that make you feel good, okay? So if you have a moon in Aries, what makes you feel good is to really just barge through problems and to keep moving ahead and to always be focused on the end result, on the goal. If your moon is in Taurus, you're going to find it very nurturing to have a pile of money to sit on and a wonderful home and to have someone, you know, to be intimate with and all of those things. It's what really gives you a sense of well-being and ease. And, well, you know, a sense of, oh, this life is good. You know, this is what I like. This is what's wonderful. And the three kind of combine to set up the very basic context of your personality and what you're trying to achieve. So a lot of people have a big kind of life theme inherent in these three things. So, for example, let's say I've got a rising sign in Libra, I've got a sun sign in Aries, and I've got a moon in Scorpio, okay? Then what I'm moving towards is the sun in Aries. So because of my rising Libra, I'm going to have to stop being so compromising about everything, and I'm going to have to stop trying to people please, and I'm going to try and become more independent, and I'm going to try and move things forward. And because I have that Scorpio moon, I'm going to have a natural ease and a natural talent to influence people. So if that's the case, that kind of a person would be a very good boss or a very good manager. And just by looking at these three kind of characteristics, it sets up the foundation of what you're going to experience on planet Earth and what a lot of the themes are going to be that crop up in your life. So, Bonnie, let's do you. Do you mind?
Oh, I love you. Are you kidding? It's all about me, Gregory. So, yes, I
So let's look at your rising sun and... it's the 14th of July, right?
Yes.
Okay, in Philadelphia. There we go. So your rising is Sagittarius, your sun is Cancer, and your moon is Aquarius, okay? So you're naturally going to react the way a Sagittarius would. Sagittarians are seekers of spiritual truth, spiritual knowledge, which, so, you know, that's very makes a lot of sense because you're doing this show and you do what you do. So that's something that comes... That's your kind of instinctual gut reaction. Sagittarians like learning. They like exploring. They like going on adventures. They're fun. They're fiery. And they're interested in exploring the world on their own terms, for themselves. Not, you know, my dad told me that this was good, so therefore it's good. It's because you've experienced it yourself.
Yeah.
Your sun is in Cancer. So what you're trying to move towards is to stop traipsing around the earth for your own amusement, and you're trying to focus more on taking care of other people. Your sun in Cancer happens to be in the eighth house of other people anyway, so there's an added dimension to that. And you're really supposed to, you know, learn and discover for yourself, but also a big chunk of that is focusing on being the caregiver, the caretaker. And what's amazing is that you combine those two things by being a spiritual healer, you know, by doing the work that you do, looking at spirituality and taking care of people that way. So you're really combining those two very well and doing both. And then your moon in Aquarius, that's very humanitarian. So whenever you discover like some nugget of truth, some gem, and you feel like you can share it with humanity, that gives you a sense of, oh my God, I'm doing something meaningful, worthwhile. And you have a radio show, so you discover all of these great things and you share it with other people. That's what naturally makes you feel good. Did you see how that works?
Oh my gosh, Gregory, I've got to tell you something. That is, I was wondering when you were talking how the Aquarius moon, because I always think of Aquarius as like which new age and all that kind of stuff because we're in the Aquarian age, and you just described me to a T. In fact, remember my 3D life also, besides doing metaphysics and besides doing the show and being a spirit medium, I'm also a nurse and a life coach. there's all the counseling and
care
helping.
Of people,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know if I like it though. I mean, I do love taking care of people, and I do it anyway, I think. And I do love the big thing for me. You just described me to a T.
So those are the basics. That sets up the context, and then for you, you've got all this stuff in Leo.
Yeah.
So that then makes it really complicated because now you've got this foundation that you're operating on, and then it gets muddied by all this Leo energy. And what do you do with that? You know, it takes you away from this Cancer purpose of taking care of everybody else, and it's like, look at me, you know, give me more attention, love me, laugh at my jokes, all of that stuff. So that's why the chart is so good. And when you look at your sun sign astrology on my YouTube videos, or if you read it in the newspaper, you're only getting a very small percentage of what your chart is really about. And that's why having private astrology readings where someone like myself looks at the whole picture and gives you a really clear rundown of that chart, that's when you can start to really get information that's useful, and that's when things start to make sense. You know, I'm a sun sign Virgo, but my whole life isn't about sorting out my sock drawer and being really anal retentive. It isn't, you know? I've got other parts of my personality as well. So it is useful, but there's more to it than that.
I love this, Gregory. I'm fascinated with astrology anyway. I would, you know, your readings are so fascinating. You're booked so far in advance. So everybody, please get into Gregory so that you get a glimpse. You know, another thing I want to tell people before we actually start talking about, because I want to put through to people about what sun signs and what they're like. When you said you're a Cancer and, you know, you're there for nurturing, I'd like to just go through some of the signs, if we could start from the beginning, because some of the characteristics of the signs. And what I'd love to do at the next show, I hope, is how one sign reacts to another. You know, what are the better signs? You know, we're all here to learn, so sometimes we're not put with those perfect signs. But I love the idea of learning, like a Cancer would be great with a Scorpio because they're sister water signs, or actually they'd be great with a mud sign or whatever you call earth because they make mud. And I love that because it really gives you a glimpse of who really you should be compatible with. But it doesn't, you know, always mean that you have to. But anyway.
It's interesting you say that because about 4 weeks ago I made videos on each sun sign and what the characteristics of each sun sign are. So have a look at my YouTube channel. Yeah, it's youtube.com/tarot astrology, one word, and it's the characteristics of each sign. So if you're Gemini, type in Gregory Scott Gemini and the video will come up, and I give you a rundown of what the characteristics of that sun sign are. And I think I even talk about what romantic partners would be good for a Gemini, for instance. I think I do that. I can't remember.
But that is interesting.
Yeah,
it is.
You know, different signs work well together in different other signs. Like, for instance, Scorpio and Virgo. I'm Virgo, and my whole family is Scorpio. And it's just like, God, can you people just relax? You know, it's very... It doesn't mesh well, and some signs really go very well together. So if you're looking at a boyfriend or something, or, you know, one of your children being born, then it makes sense to look at those compatibilities.
You know what's really crazy, Gregory, and I'm just going to throw this out, it's really all about me, though, is, you know, this retrograde. Somebody just said that the retrograde was in Sagittarius, and now it's in Moon was in Sagittarius, and now it's in Scorpio. Was that what this was?
Yeah, because, Mars retrograde. Yeah, Mars.
Yeah, Mars.
Mars
well,
is
guess
retrograde.
What? One of my kids is a Sagittarius and one's a Scorpio. So I thought about that when people are saying things. It's not just about your love life. It's really about your family and what you relate to. So when you look at that, to me that's crazy. And I don't believe in coincidences. So everyone, if you just, you know, take it for... You know, it was a science and is a science, an amazing science. This is something that takes years and years and years and years to learn or to perfect. It's just an amazing science. So, Gregory, do you think you can – and another thing is, do you think you can – I was going to ask you something about a moon sign. Oh, this is what I want to ask you. So someone said, and I don't remember who it was, so somebody goes, well, who said it, Bonnie? Well, I don't know. I could talk to a million people. But they said if your sun and your moon were like my husband's sun is an Aquarius and my moon is an Aquarius, that was a fated karmic relationship. Do you see that with the sun and moon combination?
Well, I mean, you can put that in any kind of wording that you want. You can say it's a karmic relationship, but what it boils down to is that one person's identity makes the other person feel good, and it's soothing and calming. So if you have a sun sign in Cancer, and that's what your identity is, caring and nurturing, and the other person's moon is in Cancer, where when being taken care of and being nurtured actually feels good and gives them a sense of well-being, when those two people meet, it's going to work.
Yes, okay.
Right? It's going to work, yes. Right? Because they like each other. They like what they do for each other. So, yes, it could be a karmic, whatever you called it, what did you call it? Karmic what?
A karmic responsible relationship. Because the thing is, Gregory, what they say, and it's interesting with past lives and present lives, is that if you're fated, if you owe somebody a debt or you owe somebody the karmic responsibility of a relationship, and sometimes it's great and sometimes it isn't, but that the way you know that it's karmic, that you were meant to be here to work out or be with each other, is if their sun and moon are the same. So I
don't know. I don't do that. I look at it more via the north and south nodes, because that has much more to do with past and present lives and purpose. The moon is really just on a soul level what you're good at and where you've been, and the sun is more about your conscious identity. So I don't read it like that. I don't read it as in terms of, yeah, you know, this is now a karmic relationship because your sun is in Leo and my moon's in Leo. No.
Okay, so that's what I'm glad you told me that. That's what I heard. So everybody, then if you meet somebody with that sun sign is your moon sign, don't worry about it. If you don't like them, you don't need to be with them. But
don't not worry about it. I mean, it is still useful to look at because the two of you are going to mesh well and it's going to work. But it doesn't mean that you were Mark Anthony and she was Cleopatra. It doesn't mean that.
Oh, yes, it does. I'm Cleopatra and Art. Well, he was King Arthur. He wasn't Mark Anthony. So you're right, actually. Because you
King
just
Arthur,
brought up Cleopatra. I really believe my husband was King Arthur, yes.
Oh, no one special then.
You know, it's always royalty in my house, so you know that's what it's going to be. But another thing I wanted to ask, if you can go.
That's
really
a part of astrology called delusions of grandeur. We look at those. That's astrology 101.
Maybe that is in my north node. I mean, you know that I rock the princess and everything, but that's a good way to put it. Your north and south node, they're my favorite because I love past lives. I'm very into past lives, past relationships, past what we were to be here for. So when you look at a north and south node, can you look at, I mean, does it make a difference for a couple or a kids or in that a family unit to look at their north and south node? Are there something, can you look as a group and see, or does
experience, when I've read for people and when they have had major karmic connections and have had past lives, that their north and south nodes are either in exactly the same positions or they're opposite. It's weird how that works. Yeah.
That is so crazy. So for all of you out there who are married in a relationship, or even your kids, I think you could do it for, and you want to see what that chart looks like, past lives. I think that's so interesting, Gregory. That's something I just found out. So
in my private readings, I look at both charts, and then I look at it and compare. It's called a synastry reading. And you compare the two charts and see what's going on between these two people. And there's a load of things you can do. You can combine the charts. You can compare them. There's loads of stuff. And it's very, very insightful and can give a lot of history. So I'd have to look at yours. And is it Art?
Yes. King Arthur. Remember? King Arthur
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I'd have to look at King Arthur and Guinevere. We'd have to check that out, yeah.
Yes, I mean, do you want to hear something that is probably not anything related, but, you know, the first time I ever went to a psychic medium, which was back way back, even though I'm only 17, I went there because I felt so strong that I was Lady Guinevere and that my husband was King Arthur. And so when I walked in, she had a bookshop, and I didn't know who she was at the time. And I just was sent there. She walked right up to me, and, you know, she could have been, you know, and she looked at me, and she goes, pulled out the book, King Arthur. And she said, yes, I know, honey. I know who you think you are. And I looked, and I'm like, whoa, I must be in the right place. So that is what I rock all the time. So if I think now, I feel the Cleopatra energy. And probably
I'm
Nefertiti.
Talking to Cleopatra and Guinevere.
Yes. Yes, I just need to lose a little weight, and I'll get back to my fighting Guinevere look. But
Guinevere wasn't thin, was she?
Well, honey, yes, she was. Just because she wore a big dress doesn't mean that she wasn't skinny underneath. So, yeah, I think she was. Now, I don't know quite about it, and I think Cleopatra was the same. You know, they wore those beautiful
She was thin. She was thin. You've got those statues. She had like a bird's neck, didn't she?
Yes, I don't want a bird's neck. I don't want that this time, but I do love
it. It was like a graceful little swan.
Yes, that's me. And I love to order people around, but in a nice way. I'd like to get back to talking about, before I just crack myself up and you, I do want to say hello to everybody in chat. I do see Info77. Thank you for being here. You know I love when you're here. Thank you for being here, Melly. I haven't seen you for a while. And all the guests that we have in Gemini Moon, you know this is your thing. So I just want to let, and Candy, I'm grateful all the time. So, Gregory, can we just go, we have a choice. We could go, I would really love to pick some, I would like to go from Aries all the way around and just start with some really defining characteristics of the sun signs.
Okay. So, okay, well, okay. So, there's a couple of things.
Unless you want to get to the phone lines. I mean, I'd love.
No. I have to give a little bit of background because you can split the signs up into modes and into elements. Okay? So, first of all, you've got the four elements. You've got fire, earth, and water. And each of the signs is one of those elements, so that's going to influence it. And then you've got modes. You've got cardinal, fixed, and mutable. And each of the signs is one of those modes, and that's going to have an impact on it as well. So the first sign is Aries, and that's cardinal fire. And Aries has all of that spring energy to it. Okay, so Aries are the little rams with the horns, and they are focused on barging through any obstacles. Okay, I used to use Donald Trump all the time as an example until he became really like this horrendous figure. And now I use people like Joan Rivers was an Aries. In spirit, you know, I know she was a Gemini, but she was about overcoming obstacles and moving forward no matter what.
Absolutely.
Taurus is fixed earth, and Taurus is about routine, structure, practicality, money, belongings, jobs, and never, never changing. They don't like change, they overstay situations, and they like to know where they're at in life. Next sign is air, and that is mutable, that's Gemini. Gemini is, if you look at the glyph of Gemini, it's the Roman numeral 2, it's a doorway. Okay, and Gemini love information, they love to learn, and they have this really cute kind of naive belief that if they learn enough and if they search enough, they will find enlightenment and they'll get to this place of meaning. They really believe that. Like, they have hope and they are optimistic and they are really very witty and communicative and funny, and Geminis are just wonderful, positive people to have around. Next sign is Cancer, and this is cardinal water. Cancers are the leaders when it comes to feelings, families, emotions, loyalty, and really taking care of other people. Okay?
How
they
that
are really, that's you. Yeah, that is you. You've got your sun in Cancer, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Next one is Leo, and Leo is fixed fire. Leo is the sign that shines the most brightly, I would say. You know, you also think based on the seasons, astrology is based on the seasons. Leo in the Northern Hemisphere anyway happens at the height of summer, and it's when there's fire all over the world and it's fixed. So Leos are confident, they're leaders, they're passionate, they're warm, they're courageous, all of those things. And they can also be very creative, you know, because fire has to do with life purpose and it has to do with creativity and putting yourself out there in the limelight. Next one is Virgo. We're bringing in the harvest now. Summer's over. September, you're getting all the crops in. And Virgo gets out her little notebook and she says, where are the good crops and where are the bad crops? So she sorts things out, the good from the bad. Virgo is... Yeah?
the wheat from the chaff. That's just what I heard. So I
yeah,
don't
the
know
wheat
why.
From the chaff. Exactly. That's what she said. So Virgo is an earth sign, and it's mutable. And she's the most flexible of all the earth signs, but she's able to really make very good decisions and to be practical. Next, we've got Libra, and Libra again is cardinal air, taking charge of things. And Libra is very good at exchanging ideas and building bridges between people. It's the most personable and sociable of all the signs. Then we have Scorpio, fixed water. Scorpio is the most intuitive of all the signs. It's the darkest of all the signs. It's the most intense. It's the most able to discover hidden secrets, to uncover hidden truths, and it is very, very intense. It's very hard to lie to a Scorpio because they can kind of read your mind. They just stare into your eyes. You're like, oh my God, leave me alone. So they're very intense, and they are very, they're very loyal though. I love Scorpios because if you have a Scorpio friend, they will support you until their dying breath. They will be loyal until the end. They're wonderful people, and you can really trust a Scorpio. What you get, what they tell you is the truth. They say it like it is. Some people can't take that, but Scorpios are great at that. Next, we have Sagittarius, and that is mutable fire. So this is the most adventurous. This is the most creative, and this is the sign that reaches the furthest. Okay, so Sagittarians are interested in higher realms of knowledge, whether on a practical earthly level or a spiritual level, and they're the adventurous explorers. If something is going to be discovered, it's going to be by a Sagittarius who just kind of gallops into everything and finds out. They're not so good at the details and maintaining stuff. They're very good at starting new things and discovering.
Wow. Okay? Yeah.
Then we've got Capricorn. Capricorn is cardinal earth. Capricorn is the most serious, the most studious, the most hardworking. It's ruled by Saturn. Saturn is scrutiny and restriction. And Capricorns are great. They work really hard. They see things very simply, black and white. And they're like, okay, does it involve work, or is it something not very serious? And then they work for what they've got. They're very grateful for what they've got. They don't expect a free ride. They're also very reliable as friends, but they can be a little bit tough. So in terms of their bedside manner, if you're like lying there and you want someone to feel sorry for you, don't invite your Capricorn friends. They'll say, well, just do the rehab. Get out of bed. It's going to take you 3 years to get your legs to work. Stop whining. They're tough. Okay, they're tough, these people. Then we've got Aquarius. And that is fixed air, and these are the most solidly thought-oriented people. Aquarians can be seen to be, they can be a little bit absent-minded, they're space cadet kind of people, because they don't care about the relationship so much. They care about ideas, and they care about innovation, and they care about humanity. They really think big. They're often vicars, they're often people who are spiritual leaders, and they're really focused on the group rather than the individual. Finally, we've got mutable water, and that's Pisces. And Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac. So, again, the seasons, it's the depths of winter when there's no food in the Northern Hemisphere anyway, and you have to share, and you're sitting at home in the house, and you have to talk to each other, and you have to forgive, and you have to be selfless. So Pisces is the most intuitive, it's the most feeling, it's the most sensitive, and it's the most spiritually aligned of all the signs. And they can sometimes get a little bit lost in their huge spirituality and focus on that as the only reality.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gregory.
No worries. So they can be seen to be a little bit absent-minded as well sometimes, but they're very imaginative and spiritual. And that's
it. You know what? Well, do you know what? I want to stop you right there, because people say that Pisces are really a very, psychic or, that. But Pisces, to me, remember the Piscean age was all about religion, and they weren't very open. So, what do you say about that?
Well, they were all about religion, and they weren't very open. Well, Pisces...
Yeah.
They are spiritual, okay, but they don't assert themselves. So if someone takes charge, like let's say Jesus comes along and he tells all these great stories and, he's the Son of God and all of these things, Pisces would really genuinely believe that. But Pisces didn't set up the church, and Aries or Capricorn set up the church, the institution. These are the beliefs, and these are now the rules, and we're going to build buildings around it, and we're going to make it happen. Pisces would actually listen to the teachings and the ideals of Jesus and experience that, whereas Aries and Capricorn would say, hey, this is, we're going to make this a structure, an institution. So Pisces okay. can be very religious, but only in a submissive role, because they would get sucked into things and they wouldn't be able to kind of set the tone. They can be very religious, but they're more spiritual. They experience God rather than follow rules.
Oh, I love that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, also, can you go through, since I just love, like I said, I love this astrology. Can you tell me, like, so if you have separated them into, now that you've, I love that you gave us all of the cues for each sign, and I love that because I think it's important. What about, like, you know, now we'll separate them into fire, water, earth, and air. So fire are a group of three of our, you know, our zodiac signs, correct?
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
all have different properties, but they're all fiery, right?
Yeah, and that's where the modes come in, cardinal, fixed, and mutable.
Okay.
They're
so
all
they're
the same
not even...
element, but they're different, they have different flavors of that element.
See, and I love that. Okay, because then I want to, that's what I would love to know. Like, you have Scorpio, Cancer, and Pisces all being water signs, all being
yeah,
very
intuitive. Yeah,
but
different aspects of water, yeah.
Yeah, but I love that. So that's
yeah,
just
amazing. That's what makes it more nuanced.
Okay, that amazes me, Gregory. Is there anything that you want to tell us about astrology? I have so many people on the line, and I
yeah,
said we were
just going
to chat.
Yeah, watch my videos on YouTube. Yeah, watch my videos on YouTube about each of the signs, because that was like, Bonnie just wanted me to go through all the signs, and I was like, oh, really? Because I can spend like 30 minutes on each of the signs, and that was like a whistle-stop tour of the signs. There's more to it than that. You know, they each have very specific qualities and attributes. So watch those videos. Just go to Gregory Scott's Cancer, Gregory Scott Virgo, or Sagittarius, or whatever. Or go to my channel. It's youtube.com/tarot astrology, and click on each one of the signs, and it'll give you the characteristics of that sign.
Well, do you know, what, Gregory, are the signs? Like, people say, what is the most love sign? Is it Scorpio or Taurus?
The most
what is,
love?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not Scorpio. That's the most hated.
Don't tell my daughter that, honey. But no, you know
what
they say?
They're so intense. The sexiest?
Yeah. Yes.
I think the sexiest would be, well, Scorpios are very sexy. They're very magnetic. They're like the femme fatales. They're like the ones that have sex with you and then stab you to death, the basic instinct types, you know? But the most friendly sexual sexy ones are like Leos, because they're like sexy and they just own it and they're friendly and happy about it. There's no darkness. There's no kind of taboo, mysterious sort of stuff. So, I don't know. Let's think of something. Leo would be like a Goldie Hawn, and like Scorpio would be like a Sharon Stone, you know?
Oh, my gosh. That is so great you just said that, because, see, I have so many planets in Leo, and my favorite actress happens to be Goldie Hawn. So I'm
well, there
glad
you go. See, simple and friendly.
I love that. So what do you think, then, what is the most wants the most wealth in the zodiac?
Taurus. Yeah. They like the money.
Why
like
was I
cash.
Not born a Taurus? Where is my Taurus and my
rising sign? My rising sign is Taurus, and Taurus likes security and stability. And, you know, we do live on planet Earth, and security and stability happens to come via money usually on this reality, because it buys you a building and furniture and all of that stuff. The Taurus really also like the more luxurious things in life. Taurus is ruled by Venus, and that's what I didn't mention in this rundown. Each of these signs has a ruler. So, for instance,
wow.
Mercury rules Virgo and Gemini, and that's the communication planet. Venus is the planet of love and beauty, and she rules Taurus and Libra. Uranus rules Aquarius. So that also adds another dimension. And because Taurus is ruled by Venus, the planet of love and beauty, they like a nice environment. So it's not just about having loads of cash, but it's about having a beautiful home that's like a nest, you know, that's like this, not a dirty, gross nest, like a luxurious, beautiful nest, like with crystals and with gold. And they like physical things, and that's how they feel nurtured and good about life, because they have beautiful things around them. So it's, you know, the Egyptian cotton sheets and the molten brown beauty products and the satin curtains or whatever.
Do you know it's what? You just described my girlfriend Susie, who's a Taurus. Okay. She, even though she's a multi-billionaire, I mean, she's very, very wealthy. Even before then, okay, because, you know, she was a kid, it was all about feel, and she has molten beauty products in her bathroom. I always think when I go to visit, I always say I found my castle. The problem is they keep throwing me out after 7 days. I know she has a castle, and I just can visit. But anyway, she has the molten beauty products.
You know, you mentioned who the sexiest. Tauruses are very sexy as well, because they're very sensuous. And they'll be the ones that kind of rub you in oil first and, like, massage you for a while and then have sex with you.
Okay, perfect. Now I know who you're going to be looking for. It's going to be a Taurus.
But they're very kind of into, you know, the physical, and each touch is like a special, it's almost like a spiritual experience, you know, the physical connection for Tauruses. Yeah.
Well, tell me what Capricorn, because we look at the, you know, sensual, and then the opposite of sensual
Capricorn,
is more practical.
Capricorns are like, okay, I've got 2 minutes during my lunch break, let's get it over with, and then I'm back to work.
You know, it's really interesting, because they are so practical, but they are they show love through work is what I was told. And if you're with a Capricorn, you know, two Capricorns would be great, because, you know, they would both show each other love through that they're working hard to create something. So that would be interesting. You know, those are the only two signs I would think that would be like great, two Capricorns. How does that sound to you?
Well, like, I think Capricorn would be good as well, because Capricorn wouldn't want to spend a lot of time having sex, and Virgo would be criticizing all the things that were wrong. So I think both of them would be really happy when it was over quickly. They would work well together.
I'm glad we got on the subject of love and sex. I don't know how we did that, but it kind of all stemmed around from sexy love zodiac signs. Which would you think is the most intelligent sign of the zodiac? And not that anybody or everybody isn't intelligent, but what do you think is the most intelligent?
Yeah, like you've got like intelligence, you know, if we're talking academic intelligence and we're talking like, you know, university education smart, we've got Aquarius, we've got Sagittarius, and Gemini. Those are the cleverest kind of people. But then if you're talking intelligence as in street smarts, you know, and quick-witted and funny and intellectual like that, you've definitely got Gemini. You've got, I think, Virgo a little bit, and certainly Scorpio. Scorpios really know how to influence and wrap you around their little finger. They can charm the socks out of you and really just hypnotize you with their charms.
Wow. Do you feel that when you come here that you've picked your zodiac sign before you get here to work with?
I think so. Well, because I think you choose the moment you're born, because whether you like it or not, the qualities that are in your chart, those are the qualities that are required for spiritual growth. So if you're someone who's got major hang-ups in life and who's got, you know, you picked a chart, that means you've got a very difficult childhood and there's poverty and there are terrible relationships and no friends and all of these really challenging things. Those are the ways you've chosen to progress spiritually. Some people have lots of earth in their chart and they're very practical, and they run into all of the problems that are associated with a very practical life, business, lawsuits, money, all of that stuff. And that's how they've chosen to progress in this lifetime. So I absolutely believe we choose the moment we're born, like we choose our parents, like we choose everything, because we're kind of briefed ahead of time, I think. And we choose the perfect lifetime to get to where we want to go.
No, go ahead, because I'm listening, because I agree with you 100% in everything you're saying.
Well, I mean, I say that, and I just think, oh, really? I chose my life. I chose my intellect. I chose my body. I chose my family. Was I like, you know, on drugs on the other side?
I was just
going to
say, were you on drugs? No, I'm kidding. Well, but Gregory,
you know?
You chose them to increase you and grow your soul. It's something you need to completely grow because you've had everything else. So when I look at you, and you always give me readings, but when I look at you, your part of it is to work with, you know, being really happy with everything that you were given and have, and it's all gifts. And that if you aren't progressing in one part of your life, that you need to be really happy that the part that you're here for has progressed. And that the other part will fall into place. So I don't want to get too much on the air because it is your business. But I do, you know, believe that.
That's totally right.
Yeah, so you're working exactly with what you came in for. Do you have a Venus retrograde in your chart? Is Venus retrograde in your chart?
Are you dissing my love life again? Are you saying that's why I'm such a reject? Oh, my God.
No,
you're so mean.
No. I'm asking because Ron Cole, who is here, he says when you have
Venus. It's called bullying, Bonnie. You know, you're a bully. That's the truth. You're just a bully. No, I don't have a retrograde. Why do you say that?
Because they say people who come with retrogrades, and this is what I wanted to ask you, every relationship they've come into is about past lives and having to either finish, continue, or be in a relationship from a past life. So a lot of people that I heard with Venus retrograde, and you can tell me whether I've heard right, is that they're finishing off business. So not every relationship you have here is easy, but the one you end up with is the one that be your, oh my gosh, we didn't get to finish this in the last life. We're going to do it now. And that's usually towards the end of all the relationships you have to work through, including parents and kids and friends. And, you know, people think relationships are just about love, but they're not. They're about friends and family and acquaintances. And to me, that's what making up, finishing, and being in karmic responsibility is.
Right. Well, I agree. It can be. So Venus retrograde can be that you're finishing up something from a past life. But I don't think it's as prescriptive as that. Venus retrograde doesn't always mean that. It can also mean that love is something that's delayed for you in this lifetime that you have to kind of work your way up to. Or it could mean that love expresses itself in a different way for you. So, for instance, if you have a Venus retrograde in Libra when you were born, then you don't necessarily look beautiful, but you have this amazing, glorious Venusian aura and charm and energy that you give off, and you just enchant people. So I think what you said, yes, that can be a part of it, but it doesn't always have to be that. It's not as black and white as that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think they gave me a certain I don't have it. It just was somebody they were talking, but one of Lauren's friends.
Oh, yeah. So in that specific case, definitely it could be.
I think it was her roommate, and she had Venus retrograde in the 8th or the 11th. It was something like that. I forgot to mention the house, but it was about relationships. What's the house of relationships? Not 7th, but.
There are a couple. The 5th is romance and children. God, and I'm glad I did my homework today, God, because it's just like, I'm glad I know all of this stuff off by heart. So the 5th is romance and children. The 7th is relationships in general. The 8th can be seen to be intimate sexual relationships, and the 11th is kind of friendships.
Well,
there's a couple.
I think she had, if I remember correctly, she had, it was Yana, and she had either in the 11th or the 7th. And what it meant is that she was working off karmic relationships, but in friends, family, and everything, because she never had relationships that actually worked. So that's interesting, and I love that. And what I, why I brought that up is there's so much more to a chart. There's so much more with planets and retrogrades that everyone should really know and look into in their own chart. Do you also feel, and the reason I didn't go to any of the phone lines, by the way, you had a lot of people that want to talk to you, is that you did not, we didn't know we were doing a show, and that I just wanted to interview you for, but next week you'll be here on Wednesday, right? Wednesday?
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. It would have been much easier to just take calls.
Well, I had many of them, but I wanted to interview you. So, and I think I thought, well, gee, we can just talk, and I love talking.
Yeah,
to you.
That's nice. Thank you.
We do have a lot of callers online. I do have to tell you that next Wednesday, Gregory will be taking callers. So, just to let you know, there was another question I wanted to ask you, Gregory, about the chart, and so it gives people some insight, I think, and especially we only have a few minutes, but do you think like you could tell us that do you think we all come down with every zodiac sign? Like, you know, I've read somewhere that if you're an Aries, the next time you're going to come and work with a Taurus, and you come in order. Do you feel that way?
No, I don't. I think you get a combination, a mix of things that work for you in your spiritual purpose. It's not about fulfilling the astrological signs. It's about what you need to fulfill your spiritual soul purpose. The astrology
Absolutely.
Is just a tool to interpret that. So you don't go through every sign. It's not like, okay, I'm here to live each astrology sign. I don't believe that. But I really think that the astrology chart, and I always get so amazed that I have access to astrology and that it's just out there, because it is such an amazing way to read, like, soul purpose. And I don't think there's anything more valuable than doing that. I mean, Bonnie, like, seriously, if someone says, listen, Bonnie, you're here to experience love, to have kids, and to learn how to be a good mother, and to help other people, and that's your purpose in life, that is so liberating. I mean, it gives you something to focus on, and it helps you do things that you're either naturally good at or not. And when you have that purpose in mind, it's like, well, I need to maybe practice public speaking a little bit more, or, you know, let's adopt if I can't have children myself, or whatever it is. It gives you a purpose and a mission and a goal in life, and then all you need to do is show up. And I think in life, when you show up, miraculous good things happen anyway. So having this blueprint, great. I mean, having this blueprint is just so helpful, because it just clarifies your path. It just puts you on the journey, and then you're able to actually move forward and take action. I mean, I keep saying this on your show, but I wish I had gone to an astrologer when I was 18 instead of a vocational aptitude psychologist, because they just told me stuff that really didn't resonate. And when I had my chart done, it was just like, oh, my God. Whoa, you know?
I totally agree. I wish I was young and had the blueprint and also the knowledge of what that blueprint meant. I do feel that we need to know our soul purpose. I'd love for Wednesday's show coming up to be on soul purpose. So I love all of astrology is just such a great, great tool to learn our soul purpose. And it's in there. And that's what I want people to be like really jazzed about. It's really in there. And about going to the different signs, I probably explained it wrong. But what they were saying is our soul grows in all ways. And each sign is a different way. So all of our encompassing soul has to be an Aries, has to be a Cancer, has to be a Taurus, because they bring the qualities to our soul of difference, and we all need that. Gregory, we have 90 seconds left. Can you please tell everyone how to get a hold of you for a private reading?
Yeah, thank you. My website is gregoryscott.com. Just click on the readings tab, and you can order a private reading with me there. It's really easy. Just order the reading, and I will send you the schedule to get you booked in. Have a look at my YouTube channel. That's where I do the majority of my work. It's youtube.com/tarotastrology, one word. Or just type in Gregory Scott Astrology or Gregory Scott Tarot and you'll see my videos. I do daily tarot readings. I do weekly astrology forecasts for everybody. And I do monthly forecasts for each sign of the zodiac. So have a look at that and see if it resonates. I mean, when I go see psychic and I look at their, you know, their resume or their qualifications, I go on whether that person speaks to me in some way. And when I do it that way, then I get something out of the reading, you know, because something draws me to that person or I feel prompted or guided to speak to them. So do that. See if you get anything from it. I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/GregoryScott444. And if you can't afford a reading or if you find it difficult, that's why I do the live broadcast, because if you just have a question, I pull a card for you and I just give you just a very quick, intuitive kind of message to help you. And that's on facebook.com/GregoryScott444. And the same thing on Periscope and Twitter. So GregoryScott444, and I do live broadcasts on there as well. You can't really, like, if you look into it, you'll get sick of me very quickly because I'm really everywhere. I'm on Instagram as well. So, yeah.
I love it, Gregory. We are off the air. I am headed to the beach, everyone. So, Gregory, it is my pleasure and honor that you are here always, and you will be, I hope, now on your schedule next Wednesday with us for Soul Purpose on Zodiac. So I love this. I thank you very much, and thanks for joining me. Thanks for being with me, Gregory, even though it was a impromptu kind of thing. So I do appreciate everyone who has listened, and I hope you all got something out of it. I love my chatters, my listeners, and my callers, and we had many of them. So please call back next Wednesday, and you will actually be able to talk live with Gregory or go to his live Facebook page, and you'll be able to interact with him there. Thank you, everyone, and please remember to like Gregory so that he gets his, you know, he gets his followers, and like me on Blog Talk Radio also. My webpage is BonnieAlbersOnAir.com. All my contacts are there. Again, thank you, and I am ending the show. Bye.